Let's begin our time of worship thinking on Matthew chapter 5. This is the Beatitudes. It provides a blessing to those kind of an ironic manner. It seems to be flip-flopped. One of those is, blessed are the mourned, for they shall be comforted. Kind of opposites of mourning and being comforted. And it has in view, ultimately, the end in mind. We may be mourning today, we may be struggling today, but our blessing is going to be for us certain and sure, because one day Christ is going to come back and He is going to guarantee that we are comforted in the midst of this world. And ultimately, as we're going to be talking about the new creation, the new heavens and new earth, where indwells righteousness, and certainly without any sorrow or crying or pain or sickness or death yet awaiting us. So, a wonderful thing as we consider Matthew chapter 5 and those that shall inherit the kingdom, this new creation still to come. So this is what the Lord says in Matthew 5 as we use this passage as our call to worship. Then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, or the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." For our first psalm, let's open to Psalm 97, the A selection. Psalm 97A. And I know these are going to be kind of unique psalms for most of you. Just follow along, and as you may catch the tune, feel free to join in the singing. We ultimately sing unto the Lord, though, and I know some of us may not feel like we're the greatest singers and probably should just be quiet. But nevertheless, God rejoices in our praise of Him. I wanted to point out, though, in this psalm, how the future is in mind in this psalm. Just looking at the second stanza right there, the little number 3 is right next to the word fire, and that indicates that this is the third verse in Psalm 97. So if you looked up Psalm 97, verse 3, may not be the same translation, but these are basically the words. And it reads, "Fire goes before Him," referring to Jehovah, "and His foes it burns up round about. His lightning lightened all the world. Earth saw it and shook throughout." There's an earthquake. And then the third stanza, 97a, "Before the Lord the mountains melt as wax before a flame, before the Lord of all the earth, as near His presence came." So when Jehovah comes back, the earth is going to shake and tremble, and the fire is going to come down and melt the mountains. Pretty amazing picture. But both that great earthquake and the fire that melts the earth, both of those are ways in which God is going to create a new heavens and a new earth at His second coming, which we as Christians look forward to. And that's the topic which we're talking about today. The new creation, the new heavens and new earth. So Psalm 97 is about that day when Christ returns and He creates the new heavens and new earth. So let's stand together and sing Psalm 97a. I'm going to read an Old Testament passage, and then we'll read a New Testament passage for today, and then we'll start with the sermon itself. But Isaiah 65, and later, 66. Both of them are pretty significant when you think about the new heavens and the new earth. So this is not a New Testament concept, which the book of Revelation reveals to us all of a sudden, out of nowhere. This actually has been talked about all throughout the Bible. And Isaiah 65 is one of those particular passages that actually mention the new heavens and the new earth in which God is going to create for us, so that we can dwell on the new earth forever and ever. So Isaiah 65, verse 17 through 25, this is what the Lord has said. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. Let me read the next phrase. For the child shall die 100 years old. In other words, if he lives to be 100, just 100, he's still considered a child. We're going back to the time of Noah, when people lived 900 years, or maybe 1,000 years, since the millennium is 1,000 years long. But nevertheless, the child, in the blessing of the new heavens and the new earth, has a long life to be 100 years old. And if he happens to die just as a child, he still has already lived 100 years old. Pretty amazing change in our lifespan. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Verse 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. But as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. So days of a tree, trees can live to be 100 years old, right? Certainly, or much longer than 100 years old, and certainly people have a long life and enjoy the blessings of it. Verse 23. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. So the lion eats straw again. Again, returning back to when everybody just ate herbs. Nobody's eating, no carnivores. Nobody's eating meat at all. And the time of peace, a peace even among the animal kingdom, where even the wolf's not trying to eat the lamb, or the lion trying to eat something else. There is total peace. Thus shall be the serpent's food. Again, there's still the suffering of the serpent and the wicked in the new heavens and new earth. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And the holy mountain there being Mount Zion, says the Lord. For our New Testament reading, we're going to read Revelation chapter 21, which maybe we're a little bit more familiar with, as it speaks about this new heavens and new earth. Similar language to what we saw in Isaiah, but definitely a continuation of this theme of the new heavens and new earth, which we are still supposed to be looking forward to. So Revelation chapter 21, this also is what the Lord has said. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Remember in Isaiah 65, which we just read, it spoke about how he would make Jerusalem a joy, and his people rejoicing. Well, here's the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, perfect and eternal, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, the husband being Christ. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And as we begin this series on the newness of the new creation, that is an amazing, all-encompassing statement. He is making all things new. New heavens and new earth, the new Jerusalem, the new humanity, those who are in Christ being made perfect and eternal, the new covenant, we're supposed to understand that's part of this newness, and so much is being made new. In fact, all things that are eternal are going to be made new or made renewed so that they shall be eternal. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so, in the midst of this glorious, wonderful thing is also the reminder, the warning, that if our lifestyles in any way represent any of those people, we shall have no part in this kingdom. There's many churches that kind of lead us in a prayer of salvation and say, now you're saved. Well, if people continue to live an ungodly life, obviously what they prayed did not truly change their heart, did not make them a new creation in Christ like we're talking about, because from that new creation is going to change their lifestyle. They are going to act like a new creature in their lives. And so, all those who still exhibit these wicked actions, liars, murderers, sexually immoral, they prove that their heart was never changed, and they have not become a part of this new heavens and new earth that we're talking about today. So, let us just take a moment of prayer to before we begin looking at this concept. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity again and opening the Word of God. Thank you for this opportunity to give you glory as the God of truth, the Alpha and Omega, as we read, and how your Word is faithful and true, without any chance of failing. This world will laugh and scoff. Many smart men, educated men at least, will rise up and say how dumb the Word of God is. But your word still proved true. The end of days, what you have said will stand. What they have said will be a distant memory with their existence. Lord, you are great. You are eternal. You are God alone. And we have confidence in what you have promised us because it is you who have promised it to us. Thank you for these assurances. Thank you for this hope. Thank you for this solid, reasonable faith that you have given us in Christ our Savior. Lord, our faith and our salvation is not just for tomorrow, not for just for this time of the new heavens and new earth, but it is for us today. If we have called upon your name in Christ, we are your children and you are our God. Please, Lord, help us through the struggles of life we face today. Work in us that righteousness that you desire to see in us, showing that we are a new creation in Christ, that we are not following the same pathways of life that we used to walk in, but that you have changed us and are making us more and more like your Son, more and more walking in your holiness. Lord, we ask for our families, our friends, co-workers, Lord, we ask that the mercy of God would come upon them, that they would know your truth, your gospel, your good news, your salvation. that they would come to know you and have their part in this new creation with us. Lord, I pray that you would give us boldness as we have as you give us opportunity to speak. Lord, but I pray that in our own hearts we would be steadfast. If there is doubt, if there is concerns, if there's questions, please open up the Word of God. May the Spirit of God be our guide. May we seek out pastors and other godly men and women that would encourage us and teach us the truth so that we may walk with you by faith, not by doubt. And be confident of your great blessings. Lord, as we enter into this topic of the new heavens and new earth, it is truly amazing. So amazing, it may seem to some to be unimaginable and far from what's going to happen. But Lord, as you have proven throughout human history that what you have said has come to pass, so Lord, leave us not with these doubts, but make us confident in these promises. May these promises be our daily meditation and a reminder, Lord, to be faithful to you and no longer wander from you in our own thoughts, in our own pathways, leaning on our own understanding. And we will praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, guys, we're going to talk about the new heavens and new earth, as we've talked about. And to start off, we have to realize that the plan of God from the beginning was to make this new eternal creation. I had a sermon about the garden versus the city. And I compared the Garden of Eden versus the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. And some people still want to get back to that garden, still want to get back to the Garden of Eden, thinking that is the paradise that we lost, that is the place we want to get back to. But if you compare the beginning of the Bible, the garden, to the glorious city to come, you realize that what has happened, because man sinned, Adam failed, and there was a need for Christ to come and save us. That through Christ, we actually attain a far better relationship with God. Through Christ, we attain a new Jerusalem, which is far more perfect, far more wealthy than what we had back in the garden. We actually have Christ himself sitting in this new Jerusalem with us forever. Emmanuel, God with us forever. Our future is so much greater than the past we had in the garden. And so, though we in our human minds may say, God, why didn't you just allow us to be faithful and not eat that fruit? In the plan of God, it actually was to bring us to a far better place, a plan that is perfect, and even our sin is a part of God's leading us to that place that one day is going to be even more glorious. And we see very clearly Acts 15:18, known to God from eternity are all his works. He is not coming up with plan B and plan C and plan D as situations of life change. He already knows what his plan is. The kingdom that he has prepared for us from the foundations of the world is the same kingdom that we're talking about today. This new heavens and new earth. This has always been his plan. It's always been his plan to save the sinner from their sins through Christ. He didn't come up with plan B after Adam ate the fruit. He already knew, before he even made man, what he was going to do to bring about that salvation. And so our confidence in this plan can be certain. Isaiah 46. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. He's telling us what's going to happen in the very end of days, even before it happens, while it's still at the beginning of time. He's declaring these things. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So all these things have happened and will happen, because God wants them to happen. Calling a bird from prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. The man that he's referring to is the Assyrian that would come and defeat the northern kingdom of Israel. Some people would say, why would you allow a foreign kingdom to defeat your holy people? Well, this was the plan God had from the very beginning. And he was doing it for a reason, to judge his people. And so even in this, he was proving that he is the eternal God who knows the end from the beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's that statement again. God's intention is to bring about all things as new, renewed. And part of that is our salvation. If you are in Christ, if you are a saved individual, trusting in Christ as your Savior, again, it's not just to get you out of hell. It is for a purpose to bring you to this new creation, to this new heavens and new earth. And you have to become a part of that new creation. You have to become a new man in Christ. And all this is in your salvation as you put your faith in Christ to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all that wickedness and to make you holy in Him. Wonderful, wonderful salvation that we have in Christ. And if you have a part in that, you have a part in the promises that He's talking about here of the new creation. And then we go back to Revelation chapter 21, and we see that God has already revealed to us what that plan is. He doesn't leave us in the dark. He doesn't tell us everything, but at the same time, He gives us plenty to think about, more than we can fully comprehend, for sure. But at the same time, wonderful things that encourage us not to give up, not to lose heart, but to remain faithful. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Commonly when Christians talk about eternity, they talk about going back to heaven. That's not actually what happens. That is a misunderstanding. And we probably develop this as we've come to offer the gospel to people. We tell them, do you want to go to heaven or hell? And so the thought is, we are now going to be in heaven forever if we put our trust in Christ. But actually, He very clearly says throughout the Bible that our place is not in heaven, but eternally it's going to be here on earth. The New Jerusalem, as we see in this passage, comes down out of heaven so that we can live in the New Jerusalem on earth, not in heaven. He says that the meek shall inherit the earth, as we read in the Beatitudes. Well, that's talking about claiming this whole earth is ours in this world to come. And so we're not living up in heaven anymore. We do go there for a time. When I die, death is, by definition, when my spirit leaves my body. So when my spirit leaves my body, it goes to either heaven or hell. And so my spirit will be in heaven with God throughout the time of my death. As Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Or as Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. And so we go to heaven after we die if we put our trust in Christ. But we're not going to stay as spirits without bodies forever and ever. The Bible talks about that time when Christ returns. And when Christ returns, He calls the dead to be alive again. And those that were dead are transformed and made eternal. And those who are still living, Christians, they are just transformed and made eternal in that moment. So what happens when that occurs? Our spirits from heaven are joined back with our bodies in the grave and we are brought to life again. And our bodies do not live forever up in the heaven where there is no matter, but it comes down here to earth. And it lives forever here on earth in the New Jerusalem that we're talking about. So even though we commonly talk about living in heaven forever, that's not actually the plan that the Bible speaks about. It is about living on this physical earth, but a changed earth. No longer will there be a curse. It will be an eternal earth. It will be a perfect earth that we look forward to enjoy. So the new will appear as the old. Will not appear as the old. It is different in appearance. So when we talk about the new and the old, we're talking about similar, but at the same time, different. The old heaven and the old earth are similar to the new heavens and the new earth. In fact, they're the same in substance. They're the same planet, same heavens, but they're different. They look totally different. Their appearance is different, and therefore they are renewed. So, the new will not appear as the old. It's different in appearance. Believe what God says and expect the unimaginable. That's the first statement I have up there. Believe what God says and expect the unimaginable. Before the flood came, there was no rain. The Bible says there was no rain. And then Noah starts preaching after he was told by God that the flood is going to come. He says, starts preaching, repent. The rain's going to come. It's going to be a big flood that kills everybody. They hadn't seen a flood up to that point. They hadn't seen rain up to that point. They did not believe what Noah was warning them of. But Noah believed. He even went to make the ark according to God's plan, according to God's commands, because he believed in what God said. And then when Noah entered into that ark with his family, the unimaginable actually happened. And the rain came, and all the people that did not believe died outside the ark. And those that did believe were safe and secure inside the ark. So it is for us, in a very similar way. All these things are told us, and they are so beyond our imagination to fully comprehend and understand. But nevertheless, hold it by faith, and we will see that just as God told Noah, so it will be for us, certain and sure. So 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10, pretty much communicate what we just talked about, the unimaginable. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. These things we have not yet been able to see or comprehend, but already the Spirit of God and the Word of God are explaining them to us. When it comes, we will not be able to remember how it was today. It will be that different. It will be so different. The world, you look around, you see the mountains, you see the Statue of Liberty, you see the buildings, you see this big ocean. One day, when God recreates everything and makes it new, it's going to be so different, you're not even going to remember what this world looked like. As Isaiah 65, which we read earlier, says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." A lot of people live for this world. One day, those who are righteous are going to inherit a world that they love and adore, and they're not even going to desire this world any longer. This world will be a far distant memory. In fact, not even a memory at all. The new is the same as the old. So just as I said, they're different. At the same time, they are the same. The new is the same as the old. It's same in substance, the same in identity. So the new heavens and new earth are the old heavens and the old earth,
just reformed. Reformed by that fire that we talked about. Reformed by the earthquake that's going to shake everything that's shakeable. God's going to shake it all up, but it's still going to be the earth. Just like Noah, we'll see a passage later in 2 Peter 3. It speaks about how Noah went up on the flood, and when he came back down, it was a whole new earth. Well, obviously, he didn't leave the planet and go to some other planet, and it's a whole new planet. What he did was he came back down, and the flood had so changed everything around him that it looked brand new. It looked different, far different from the planet that he left. So it is going to be on that day when the fire comes and when the earthquake happens. It's not even going to come to mind again how this planet was today. The New Jerusalem replaces the Old Jerusalem as the eternal capital city of Christ, placed at the same location on the great augmented Mount Zion. Now that's a lot of words, but basically, the kingdom that God has been preaching about, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom that He has prepared for us from the foundations of the world. This kingdom is the same Israelite kingdom of the Old Testament, but it's made new. It is renewed. It has a new king, a Davidic king, just like in the Old Kingdom, but now it's Christ, the Son of David, the eternal king, who is going to be the king. And He's sitting on the throne of David in the very capital city of David. Not the Jerusalem that David actually sat in before, because that's going to be destroyed in the earthquake, but the new eternal city that comes down out of heaven, which lands on a much larger Zion, a mountain, and Christ is there in the very midst of it, Emmanuel, God with us, forever and ever. That is going to be a glorious, glorious city. But that is the new Jerusalem. Just like the old Jerusalem, same location at least, not the same bricks, but the same location. And that is our city, our capital city, our home, that we shall enjoy forever and ever. So the new, just like the old. The new man is the same old man who is renewed in Christ, born again, regenerated, resurrected, transformed. We become a new man. And with that new man, like we talked about, like Paul talks about, we got to put off the old man that is dead in its sins, and put on the new man. Well, I'm the same man. I was Cale Butler when I was the old man, and I'm the new Cale Butler as I've trusted in Christ and become a part of that new man. But now I'm acting different. I look different in the way that I conduct myself and the things that I say. As I show the change that God has brought into my heart. The new covenant replaces the old covenant. And if you're around when we do the sermon on the new covenant, you will see that it is the national covenant. The old covenant was Mount Sinai. God makes the children of Israel, the family of Israel, into a nation and gives them laws that they need to obey, that they may be a nation according to laws. Well, the new covenant really establishes the people of God, the nation of God again, but this time it establishes in the perfect Israelite, Jesus Christ Himself. And all who are trusting Christ, all who are connected to Him, become a part of that new covenant that's in Christ, that new nation directed by the covenant. The new commandment, we can say, is the same old commandment, love one another as I have loved you, but yet different. Love your neighbor as yourself. I confused those. The new commandment, love one another as I have loved you, is Christ speaking. It's different, but the same as love your neighbor as yourself, which is what we see Moses telling us in the Old Testament. How is it new? Instead of the basis of my love being how I want to be loved, now I see the basis of my love being how Christ showed love to me. That's how I'm supposed to be showing love. And so it's the same old commandment, but renewed in Christ. And so a new song also we can say
is a not an uninspired song, but the old inspired songs of the book of Psalms and others in the Bible, sung now in a new situation of praise. As God gives me victory, I open up the book of Psalms and I sing the same old songs, but I sing them with new meaning as they apply in my situation of salvation that God has brought me today. That's where we're going to stop. If you're able to join us next week, we will start looking more into the new heavens and the new earth, and how specifically that newness comes to the heavens and earth and its character. We kind of read a little bit about that, how the wolf lies down with the lamb, about how the earth is changed and shaped differently. But there's many more things to speak about that he's already revealed to us about this new heavens and new earth and what it's going to look like. But the important thing for us, the most important thing as we think about this biblical teaching about the re-transformation, is that we know in our own personal hearts that we are a part of that resurrection, that we have put our trust in Christ to forgive us of our sins and to bring us to that great salvation. It's an amazing plan of God, known to God before the foundations of the world, all his works that he's ever going to do, including the fact that Christ came and died for sinners. He had that plan from the very beginning. Even before the foundations of the world, he wrote in the book of life all the names of those who Christ was going to die for and bring this salvation to. What a wonderful, what a great salvation. And if your name is written in that book, what a wonderful hope, what a wonderful future you have to look forward to. So, salvation itself is here being offered in this topic of the new heavens and the new earth. But, just like the people of Noah's day, if we just hear the message and we don't believe in it, it does us no good. And ultimately, the rain will come, and we haven't stepped into that ark. We haven't put our trust in Christ to be saved. And when everybody else is dying, we're going to die with them, instead of having that salvation and that hope. So, I encourage you, look unto Christ as your Savior. And you'll enter into this new glorious city, this new glorious creation, and rejoice forever that you put your trust in Him. For our closing psalm, sing 102C. 102C. You'll notice in this psalm that it also speaks about the changing of the earth and heaven. Stanza 14, verse 25 says, "Of old you earth's foundation laid, your mighty hands the heavens made. Yet they will die while you endure. Like garments, they will worn out be. Like clothes, you change them constantly." So, God is eternal. And in contrast to God who's eternal, this earth is very temporary. But what he's going to do, he's going to change the earth's clothing. Basically, just like an old ragged garment, he takes it off and he puts on the new glorious garment. In other words, he makes it new, the new creation, the new heavens and new earth. That's what this psalm is talking about when he refers to the making, the changing of the earth's clothing. So, Psalm 102C, let's stand together and sing, and then we'll close in a word of prayer.